Sometimes Heroes, Season 2, Episode 30. My name is James, and I'll be your Game Master. Let's introduce our players.
Hello, my name is Eric, and I play Sten, the Half-Orc Barbarian.
Hi, my name is Mark, and I play Guige, the Human Fighter Paladin.
My name is Winter, and I play the Elf Druid Sariel.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I play Iria. This might be the last time I play her this season.
It's entirely possible.
The Elven Rogue.
Good job. You almost got it at the end.
I was about to say druid, and I'm just like, nope, that's not it.
All right.
Hello, my name's Molly, and I play Eden, the 30th episode anniversary edition.
Nice. Does she get, like, a cool color swap or, like, an extra, I don't know, accessory?
Well, I know that we discussed her having a rainbow face.
Dope. A lightning bolt scar on her forehead.
Mm-hmm. Last time on Sometimes Heroes, you guys defeated your first dragon. Not any dragon, a adult red dragon.
I just want to say thank you, Guige, for throwing yourself at the dragon when it looked like I was about to die. And even though it involved you going crazy and biting it, I am glad that you survived. And I'm pleasantly surprised that we all survived, to be perfectly frank.
As Eden says this, Guige is limping towards where Guiding Wind is, and he's kind of bleeding on the floor because he's barely holding himself together. And he's just like, no, it's cool.
If you're bleeding on the floor, then I wouldn't be saying that quite so casually. I would definitely still say it, but with a more anxious tone?
Let's leave the actions for a minute, because we're still doing last time on.
Okay.
Right.
Last time on Sometimes Heroes, we almost lost our new friend Iria to crazy eye tentacle monster. But she woke up again, and she's back to annoying Guige.
Not quite. You guys are still in the midst of this action, unfortunately. Three of the party are...
She's not back. She's totally still knocked out.
Yep.
Sorry, James.
You are making death saves. Guige and Eden both have less than a fifth of their HP. Sariel is a giant. Sten is standing in front of what now looks like a very strange but relatively mundane hole in the wall.
Can Sariel scoop me up magically into her giant, comfortable arms?
Yeah.
And make Elena jealous because Iria gets to be carried by giant Sariel. I mean, Iria, yeah. Elena would be like, but I wanted to.
Well, would Iria brag about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What a jerk. Okay.
She is.
So the floor is still strewn with the pulsating globs of scarred flesh. A couple of the portals still have eyes in front of them, the death and the fire portal specifically.
James?
Mm-hmm.
Can you not say pulsating?
No, I can't.
Good grief.
Okay, Charlie. Sorry. Brown.
Sten's girlfriend is gone.
It'd be funny if she left him with a baby. Oh, by the way, this is yours. Goodbye.
Yes, he has a cursed dagger now.
Aww.
Not even. He has a cursed handle.
Aww. Just imagine like a little like Dora the Explorer style dagger. Just daddy. Looking up at Sten.
This is not the fan fiction I wanted.
But this is the fan fiction that we needed.
No, it's not.
No.
Okay, Iria and Guiding Wind are going to make death saves, and then you guys are going to act in whatever order you want, because there are no active enemies to still oppose you, as the ones that are staring at the portal seem content to continue doing that.
Why don't we act in the order where somebody else resuscitates me and Guiding Wind, so neither of us have to make death saves?
Well, I was going to say, since I'd already hinted that since Guige was limping towards Guiding Wind, can I just say that I've maneuvered around the piles of Geb corpses?
Nope. Because you said that in the last time on, which was your hopeful fiction of what you hope will happen in the future.
Okay, so that doesn't count?
No.
Okay, then. But Molly's saying things to Guige is going to be kept.
Eden.
So she said,
who is Molly?
So should Molly say that again, James?
That is assumed to have been said, but not at this moment, you know, a little bit later, where she says that and is like, oh, you're bleeding a lot, and then says it again in a slightly more concerned tone.
Okay.
If you guys want to continue playing that out, that's fine. But first, Amanda, make a death save.
Fine. Wait, how do I do that again? I should know by now.
Just a d20, 10 or above means you aren't dying more, and 9 or below means you are dying more.
I rolled a 16. I'm not dying more.
Both Iria and Guiding Wind are okay. Who wants to act next?
I would like to say that Gi sees Sariel is giant and relatively close to Iria. She's got good heals. So he's going to run to Guiding Wind, also because he promised Guiding Wind and the kobolds that he would look after them. So he's going to limp around the Geb corpses.
Okay. Geesh starts to rush forward.
I want to help, but there are two problems.
I'm not dead yet.
The smaller, not really related problem is that my face got burned off and I hurt. My body hurts. Number two, I don't have any healing spells and I'm not good at medicine.
You could mercy them out of there, though. Jetpack rescue squad style. Or
what?
You could help get rid of the Gebs that are currently land mining right next to Guiding Wind.
Why?
Oh, yes, that is a thing that I can help with. I can do that, and I shall.
Because even if Geesh gets over there, he's not going to be able to get Guiding Wind out of there without dealing with them first.
Iria is not quite so locked in, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sariel would just make her way carefully around.
Sariel can get up to Iria.
I will drop some heals.
Okay. Eden, did you want to try to do something about those green-eyed beasties?
Okay. Here I go.
Here you go. Doing what?
Wait, where are they? Where are the beasties?
Oh, it's the corpses. The corpses act like landmines.
We have some options, some of them more fun than others. First, I was thinking we catapult them to the other side of the room and watch them explode.
I think you'd have to do a max level catapult, which I'm not sure you have the juice for at the moment.
Ugh, probably not.
As you are sprinting towards these guys and debating on what flavor of magical nonsense to give them.
I really wanted to use catapult!
You know what? They don't need to actually go very far, so...
Follow your dreams.
Follow your dreams. Do it. You're not, gonna splatter them against the wall, but you're gonna, slide them, maybe.
I don't care. Oh my gosh, this will be fun.
Oh no, I wish it was a real attack.
Oh man, yeah, if that had been an actual attack, it would have been a critical success, apparently.
Never mind. Eden just runs up to these guys, angles herself in a fashion that she can get both of them in a row, because she crits, and they both, in a moment of mom-level picking the car up off somebody, just arcanes them, splatters them both into the wall.
Yes!
Okay, they are cleared up.
Sariel cast Cure Wounds at level 4 for a total of 18. E.
Yes, and Iria snaps to consciousness.
Welcome back.
It's like Jon Snow.
Is she being held in the cradling arms of a giant Sariel?
Yes. This is the moment where I wish I could cast, Cure Wounds as an animal. Iria just wakes up in the arms of a giant squirrel.
Yes!
But no, it'll, Iria wakes up in the arms of a very large elf.
Iria reaches, she blinks slowly and she reaches one arm out towards your face and whispers, "The Sariel."
What?
Oh, it's been a while since I heard about it.
Probably. She gets around. Sariel. And then she points to her three scars on one of her cheeks that look like cat whiskers.
Oh, no.
And then she just winks.
Oh, no.
Iria, following this moment of lucidity, as you come back to life and things seem normal for a moment, you are suddenly filled with a horrifying feeling of paranoia, like the walls are closing in, the darkness is full of hostile eyes, and that whole journey you just went through the entire Cold Forge, every single hostile thing you've encountered must be on the other side of every doorway, and ready to come through the ceiling above. You are incapacitated for a short time.
Her eyes get really wide with fear, and she says, "We need to leave," but then she stops and she's like, "How are we gonna get out of here?" And she just clutches onto Sariel. "How are we gonna get out of here?
Oh no,
we are surrounded by portals.
We are surrounded by monsters
and portals.
Portals of monsters."
Well, you know, the monsters that are left don't really seem too concerned with us.
What do you mean? They're gonna kill us all. I just look at the way they're looking at me. I know it.
I don't think they are looking at you.
They are. I can see them, she says with her eyes shut tight.
In this time, the one person remaining who hasn't acted is Sten. Do you want to try to help Guiding Wind?
I think Sten would just be, you know, kind of cooling down, appreciating the awesome work he's just done, not really paying attention to much else.
All right. Sten stands for a moment, heaving next to the portal, and Guiding Wind is going to make another death save. But he is going to be okay. Geesh, you arrive next to the target.
Would it be better to do Cure Wounds or Spare the Dying? I don't know how much damage he's taken, right?
No, you don't. And it's almost always better to do a Spare the Dying first, at least in my healing setting, because that sets their HP to zero.
And there's no immediate dangers around, so Geesh will continue to bleed on the floor as he hobbles quickly to Guiding Wind. And I want to say Geesh wears gloves now, but he'll quickly use his teeth to pull off the gloves, and he'll hold his item, the emblem of the Silver Crescent, and do Spare the Dying on Guiding Wind.
Okay. Guiding Wind remains unconscious, but is no longer in danger of dying. The rest of the kobolds rush back to the center of the room. You realize, Geesh, that Firekeeper was basically on your heels the entire time.
Cool.
And there is no imminent danger left. The creatures that were landmines before begin to slowly disintegrate. Bonecaster, when he catches up to you guys, kneels next to Guiding Wind and begins casting bones next to his head. And if anybody tries to get near him, he hisses and gets pretty aggressive, which you guys have learned to notice their emotions.
If we get near Bonecaster or if we get near Guiding Wind?
If you get near Guiding Wind.
So is he aggressive even though I'm already crouched next to him?
He attempts to shoo you away. Do you leave?
Yeah, I'd like to cure wounds before I step away.
It appears that is what he is trying to stop you from doing.
What? Why? No. No, murder puppy, stop. This is a terrible idea. Let me save you.
He puts a sphere against your chest if you continue to move in that fashion.
Geesh won't cast cure wounds. I mean, unfortunately, Guiding Wind's the only one who speaks Draconic, but he will say, I can save him. I can heal him. But he's not casting cure wounds.
You get a cocked head and a prod in the chest.
Ugh.
Geesh doesn't like it, but he knows he's at least stabilized him, so he's going to back off.
Can Sariel try to communicate healing?
Sure. How are you trying to communicate it?
I think Sariel would just, press her hands together and then lay them back on Iria.
Yes.
And then, open her hands towards Guiding Wind. Just trying to demonstrate that she touched Iria to heal her, and she would like to do the same to Guiding Wind.
Right. Okay. Roll a persuasion as you were speaking in sign, basically, at him. It seems like it's kind of hard to get his attention at all, as he's mostly focused on making sure Geesh stays away and his scattering of bones near Guiding Wind's head.
Oof, it was only a 5 in persuasion.
I want to touch your friend.
In the least creepy way possible.
Geesh is inclined to believe that this is some sort of kobold tradition or custom. Gosh, I don't think speaks with animals would work. Seeing what Sariel's done, Geesh is going to show. I mean, I think
Bonecaster
knows.
Geesh needs healing anyway, so if Bonecaster doesn't look too impressed, she can just heal Geesh, and it'll work as both a demonstration and just Geesh needs the heals.
Also, you're a giant, so you could just literally pick him up with one hand and hold him.
I don't want to
10 feet
do
away.
That though.
I know. I had to verbalize it because the thought was in my head and it sounded hilarious.
As you are stepping over to Geesh to lay on hands and body horror him back together, Bonecaster gathers up his bones back into a pouch and hisses and yelps at his comrades, and Fire Tender and him grab Guiding Wind's hands and begin to drag him towards the corpse of the large red dragon.
I think it's some sort of draconic custom. Maybe he's going to take on the dragon spirit or something. Geesh says as he limps towards Sariel for heals.
Yeah, can I drop a heal on Geesh real quick before anything else happens?
Absolutely.
Okay, Sariel cast Cure Wounds at level 3 for a total of 17 healing.
Oh my goodness, that helps quite a bit. Thank you.
Hey, little buddies. You want to get in on some of this mushroom action? It's great for communication, understanding one another, not poking spears at each other's chests.
As you are doing this, it seems like Firekeeper and Bonecaster are a little busy dragging their friend, and Groundshaker is unconscious still, but Crashing Tide and Lifetender grab a little bit of snuff and put it in their nostrils. And you hear Wobbles comment,
Bonecaster told them that Guiding Wind shouldn't be woken up because his mind is corrupted.
Oh dear, like a recent one?
He's one of them!
Iria, shush. Sorry.
Good idea, they'll hear us.
They say they're gonna change him so he'll be safe.
Wait, who's they? Who's gonna change him?
All of them.
They're coming for us.
All right, you're getting a little high on the supply there.
I think she's high on the hallucinations from the big eyeball stand.
Oh, yes. Wait, so they meaning the kobolds, or they meaning something else?
Our friends are going to change the guiding wind into a different thing. And then once he's different enough... Oh! This is what my cousin said. He needs to be different so the bad thing doesn't know him anymore.
Well, that's convenient. So he's going to ascend. That's great. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
The kobolds, once they lay guiding wind down next to the larger dragon, begin cutting pretty viciously into the dragon's chest.
Who's next?
Oh, no. Poor Iria. You just hear like squelching of rending and tearing of tendon and bone.
It's happening!
Geesh mutters, does anyone have a sleep spell?
I do.
No! Geesh, like struggling in Sariel's giant arms.
Geesh points at Iria with his eyes and taps the side of his nose as he looks at Eden.
Do you want
her to sleep?
Eden. No. Eden winks at Geesh and gives a finger point. Okay, I won't do it right now, but just so you know, if you get too freaked out, then maybe a nap might be best.
We can't sleep. They're coming for us. We've got to get out.
Not all of us. Just one of us.
Sariel, as you are holding Iria right now, roll an insight real quick.
Sariel rolled an 18 in insight.
Oh, Iria's about to stab you.
What? I am? Oh, okay. I am. Get let go of me! She has her fist up. That looks empty.
It hasn't quite had time to recharge yet. So she is actually holding a bloody obsidian dagger.
We gotta get out of here!
I want to say Sariel usually has, like, a cloak.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna taco you. You're getting tacoed. burritoed. You're getting burritoed.
Okay. I don't think I...
Can I roll at advantage because I'm huge?
There's a mechanical thing for this. You get plus 1d4 to your roll.
Okay.
Oh no, I rolled at advantage. But it was pretty good. I rolled a 22. Oh no! Oh no! I didn't want to win that.
That 1d4 is not going to help you. Sorry, you start to pull out your swaddle, you... Yes, it is like an angry cat is in your arms, and Iria struggles free.
She scrambles away.
A half-hearted swipe at you just to, like, dissuade you from grabbing her again, but she does look feral.
Gosh darn it.
Eden, maybe now's a good time. He starts to dig his rope out.
She puts the blade between her teeth and then scrambles away on all fours.
I cast sleep before she gets 20 feet away.
Solid. You want to roll that real quick? I can't imagine this not working. She's in a really bad way.
Eden rolled a 21.
Yeah, Iria only has 13 HP, so she begins to scurry away, knife between her teeth, eyes wide and
crazy eyes. She's got her
searching
crazy
the
eyes
corners.
On.
Crazy eyes.
Yeah, she has a really high intimidation, so James calls it her crazy eyes.
It works a lot.
It does.
Enough.
It's like her best quality.
As she's doing this, her crazy eyes droop and she just sort of gently lets herself go to the floor and is sleeping fitfully as her limbs continue to move around and grip at the stone.
It's completely unrelated to anything, but I would not put anything obsidian anywhere near my own face.
It's very sharp.
It's very sharp.
Well, people who put normal knives in their mouths are crazy. Anyway.
It was a bloody knife, too, so.
Now you have... Never mind. Bad times, bad plans, bad times.
Now I have Cthulhu AIDS.
Oh, heck. Okay, so...
You've got the herp, which is what happens when you catch herpes from... I'm trying to make a lizard pun. I'm trying to make a herpetology with herpes puns.
I was right there with you.
Now you have the herp squared.
Oh no.
What was Iria doing with Guiding Wind when they were alone that one evening?
Oh no.
Gross. Okay, let's keep going. So.
She was helping him ascend. No? Okay,
no. Never mind.
Reaching new stages of consciousness.
Yeah.
All right, this is terrible. Cut all of this out.
Yeah, we'll cut it out.
Okay,
no,
so.
No, leave it in.
So.
That's what she said.
Oh, yay, Mark!
Should I not have done that?
I'm so disappointed in you.
Uncharacteristic.
The one time.
Disappointed in all of us.
Yes. High five over the internet.
Thank you.
Okay, so Bonecaster begins cutting out various organs and cutting them up and handing them to the various kobolds. But he does stop and look at you guys, raising his chin, showing his neck to you, and you hear the mushrooms say,
he wants you to eat some too.
What does he want us to eat? Geesh thinks to Wobbles.
Dragon.
He says it is also your kill.
I'll eat some dragon. That sounds delicious.
Okay. What part of dragon? Can we cook it?
Why do we have to eat it? At no point during our time together have we ever ritually eaten anything or anyone we've killed.
And our lives have been the poorer for it.
They've eaten several of your kills.
Yeah, because that's how they do.
It does feel like we should really try to use the whole dragon.
We're not murder puppies.
I'm not about that life.
Right? Geesh wants to roll to see if there's... If we're going to try and be resourceful, Geesh wants to roll to see if there's anything he can resource from its corpse other than meat to put in his belly. And he'll share this with others and he'll say, is there something we could cut off of that dragon to like use for later? Like teeth or something?
Sarla would respond, I'm pretty sure there is, but I don't think this is just about resourcefulness. Can I roll, I guess, either an insight or got that book about dragons?
Oh, absolutely. Know. You can roll a history at advantage. Okay. To see what they think about using the body of kin.
Give me one second.
The Heathen Dragon Gods is observed by Tarkus Sil. That's the book you have.
Sarla rolled a 23 in history at advantage.
Things you know. They are practicing a ritual in which they have killed kin, and they are eating its heart, mostly.
Ah!
This is more of a ritual eating as opposed to a food eating. They are hoping to gain its strength, hoping to gain its knowledge, hoping that what they have taken from the world they can give back in their own lives. You're not so sure about this chosen one thing. Like, that doesn't show up very much in the book. It seems like it's either not very common or it's not something that they allowed outsiders to know. Things you know about useful stuff about bodies and how they feel about that. There are tons of useful things about dragon bodies, and those are outlined meticulously in this book because it's written by hobgoblins. The scales make excellent armor. The blood is extremely valuable and has a high quotient of residuum properties in it. There are various other things that can have magical properties, specifically the eyes and various organs.
The penis.
It is a male, the penis ground up and dried is supposed to be a powerful aphrodisiac.
Really, James?
See, I was right.
This is hobgoblins we're talking about. It's all laid out in there meticulously in very clinical speech.
How are the ribs?
The meat is supposedly succulent, although it is recommended that you use the fire bladders to cook it.
Wait, its own flyer bladders to cook it itself? That's some kind of f***ed up on some level I can't quite understand. There's something weird about that.
There is a little note at the end that it is highly offensive to use the body of kin to these people.
I was just going to say, Sariel would absolutely convey that in detail.
Wait, I'm not sure I understand. So it's offensive in... Wait, to who?
It's offensive to them. I guess Geesh could ask to clarify if because the dragon is not his kin, he could use it. But it sounds like they are not about that life.
Darn.
Weren't they asking us to eat it?
They were asking us to ritualistically consume part of its heart.
Oh, just the heart?
Yee.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay, well, that's
disgusting. Sure, no, that's sure still, a big deal.
If they allow us.
I'm just saying that sounds gross, whereas I was into some, like, a nice cut of dragon steak.
Or he was just like, shh, shh, shh.
I don't know. A lot of that stuff
is a big deal.
I'm not particularly interested in eating any of it, but we could take anything that's useful.
Well, I don't think the kobolds would like that. I mean, we can ask them. Geesh will quickly mutter to Sariel and Eden. He'll be like, do you guys know if corruption would spread to us if we ate the dragon? Because it's pretty heavily corrupted, or was heavily corrupted.
Eden reaches into her back pocket and pulls out a 20-sided die.
Pretty obviously to you guys, compared to other things you've run into, the corruption you see is mostly on one side of its head, and its torso and wings and limbs are particularly untouched. Even as they open it up, it's all just like, none of you have seen the inside of a dragon before, but like, it all looks pretty normal.
I'd still want one of our knowledgeable companions to give me the okay before I go eating any dragon.
Go for it.
Out of character, I know you're saying that it's okay to do, James, but in character, you just super sketch about it.
Well, I rolled Arcana, you know, because why not? Eden rolled a 16. Does that tell me anything?
Yes, it tells you that between what Sariel told you and what you suspect the magical, like, properties of the corruption to be, you walk up and cast a firebolt on the corrupted side of its head, and it immediately, like, sloughs off.
Ew.
Revealing that parts of this creature have been eaten away by the corruption.
James, don't say sloughs.
It's a good word. I love it. I'm going to say it a million times a day.
It sloughs off to pulsate on the floor. Moistly.
This doesn't bother me.
It does not pulsate nor moist around. No, it was moist, actually. It oil slicks on the ground.
That's better.
But as you're doing this, Eden, you know that the kobolds would be cool with this, and when you do it, they all sort of give you a look of respect.
Wait, did you say they would or would not be cool with it?
They would be cool with it, and as you do it, they give you a nod.
They're happy that you purified its elder's body.
All right, well, in that case, Gij, I would like to reassure you that it is okay if you want to go ahead and partake.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I guess Gij will ask through Wobbles. Wobbles is the one that I like, right? The one that I was, like, combat friends with in the Twilight Autumn, James?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wobbles is actually going to interrupt you at this point and be like,
wait, you fought that dragon without me?
Sorry?
Aww.
You're helping now. You're helping. You're very good help, Wobbles. These things to Wobbles.
Not as helpful as I would have been fighting a dragon. What did you want to know?
Oh, would they be offended if we were to honor his body by taking pieces with us, or do they only want us to eat with them? And does it have to be the heart?
I think Sariel just explained it pretty clearly how they feel about that.
Damn, Wobbles.
I can ask them, but they might be offended.
All right, you know, guys, I'm in. I'm going to eat this heart.
Hold on.
I'm just going to go in there and eat it.
Sariel will try to convey, at the very least, they should try to respect the ritual first, and then maybe once they've had a little bit of time to mourn?
Gij will ask if it has to be the heart, and if they can't cook it first, because he's not sure about eating raw dragon heart.
I don't think any of us have to do anything here.
Yeah, but he's trying to be cool with the kobolds.
They respond to you. You hear the mushroom say,
I don't know why you would, but it can be cooked. Mainly it has to be fresh. So long as you eat it right now before its spirit leaves and it becomes a truly dead thing.
Can I just, I don't want to interrupt this, but can Sten just be plowing right ahead?
Oh yeah, they have been offering you a cut. And as you're eating it, it's tough and it's kind of rubbery, like raw, smooth muscle is. And it takes some gnawing on it, but you get through.
It's a little rough, guys, but it tastes like victory. I recommend it.
Gij, seeing Sten run ahead, will motion to Eden. And he'll be like, Eden, just hit this with a firebolt for me. And he'll take a cut and hold it up on his sword so Eden can give it a quick scorch.
Okay, but don't eat it right away if I do that. It's going to be really hot.
Once you say you want it cooked,
uh-huh.
Firekeeper leans into the cut, so he's just like a little pair of legs and a tail sticking out of the dragon's chest, and Bonecaster walks in front of the mouth, and you just see Firekeeper like push on something. A gout of flame comes out and cooks the meat.
Sears it. Wow. Okay, sure.
It's pretty burnt on the outside.
Oh, that's fine. I'm already eating dragon. Who cares?
Hey, that was going to be my thing.
Gij starts to eat it and makes about 20 micro expressions as he attempts to eat this piece of dragon heart.
Doesn't taste bad. Tastes kind of burnt.
Yeah, but it's really weird.
Is it really that weird?
Kinda? You guys want to get on this?
I want to say as soon as Sariel was sure that they understood like what the stakes were, she would have already taken her piece.
I'm asleep.
What the stakes were. I like that.
Hey.
Nice. Iria is asleep on the ground. Is anybody dealing with her?
I'll say that once Gij gets a piece and he starts chewing on it, he'll pull out his rope and go, rope, tie up Iria.
It snakes over there.
And then he'll give her a nudge with his shoe to try and wake her up.
No, let her sleep. Let her sleep.
Yeah, that seems unnecessary.
Sorry, Amanda. I was trying to bring you into the scene.
Thank you.
He leaves her tied up just in case she wakes up and goes feral again. Second question. Is Sariel still big, and does she just flip that piece of dragon meat like it's a small piece of jerky into her mouth?
Sariel would be very respectfully eating it. It's a big deal to the kobold, so it's a big deal to her. And I want to say this probably isn't the first raw heart Sariel has eaten as elf.
Mm-hmm. Get it.
I'm now imagining her like using her index and thumbs of each hand and holding a little piece in her mouth and like nibbling on it.
They actually give Sariel a much bigger cut of the heart. Whoa! Because the heart is huge.
I'm gonna have so much dragon power. This is gonna be great.
When you get smaller again, you're gonna be very full.
Oh no.
No, it's fine. The magic handles that, hopefully.
Eden, you want some?
No.
Okay. Well, I guess that's good. If we all get like dragon poisoned, you can drag us to the nearest church or cleric.
Good plan.
Yeah.
Sariel won't push the matter, but she will be kind of like, it would be kind of neat and respectful to them, but I guess don't feel too much pressure. Because it doesn't seem like the kobolds are pushing it too hard.
No, they seem to be like, offer? No? Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Real quick, you hear through the mushrooms as they have all mushroomed up now, except for Guiding Wind. They have smeared a bunch of blood onto Guiding Wind in various patterns, but they don't seem to be in any, like, arcane patterns so much as anybody can tell, or religious patterns. They just seem to be like whatever they thought looked cool at the time.
This is some resuscitating Mr. C Twin Peaks The Return stuff right here. That was for Amanda, really.
But you hear them ask to help them move the body towards the flame portal.
The body being the dragon body?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, usual help, but then he'll say, does all of the body need to be destroyed?
This gets translated through the mushrooms, and all the kobolds just, like, snap look at you sideways.
Yeah.
Is that a yes?
All of the body should probably be destroyed.
They say that its body was no longer its own, and in death, it will be no one's servant either. They will return it to the fire that birthed it.
Okay. All right. The entrepreneurial part of Guiche mourns this loss of opportunity. And he helps them move the dragon.
Sariel can
always push it
bear again.
Oh, well, Sariel's giant. You can probably just use one hand, Sariel.
I'm not that giant. If I go bear, it'll definitely be easier, though.
Okay. You're going bear to help them move the thing?
Yeah.
Sariel, as a bear and with the kobolds, helping the body not get like twisted into weird positions or pulling the claws when they occasionally dig into the stone, moves the creature over to the flame portal. And before you guys get there, you realize there's still one of those eyes staring into it. Bonecaster, if no one else does, will just walk up to the back of it and shove a spear into the back and move away and then begin pushing the dragon again.
That sounds fine.
Okay. The dragon is subsumed into the portal, even though it seems like the fire is having a little bit of trouble burning it. It does destroy the flesh of the dragon as it slips slowly into the other side.
Hi, dragon.
As you guys are standing in front of this, it is like standing next to a furnace, so you guys all get a little bit sweaty.
Well, I'm good.
Guiche frowns and thinks, dragon armor, residual blood.
Once this happens, they pull Guiding Wind over to the air portal, which is just like a blue sky endless beyond, with a constant and refreshing, a little bit too stiff a breeze coming out of it constantly. They stand up Guiding Wind's body near the edge. And then you hear the mushrooms say,
Bonecaster says you are all chosen too, and wants to know which one of you is a windy sky person?
Hey, Eden, I think they need you for this.
Okay, I shall. I can make the wind sometimes, but it is not that powerful.
It's powerful enough to carry you up into the air. This.
It's because you didn't eat the dragon heart. You've miraculously become Italian.
Yeah.
The kobolds are lining up on the edge, holding up Guiding Wind, but they all look at you, and you hear the mushrooms say,
they want you to take him from whence he came to the endless sky.
Oh, well, I can do that, but there's a ceiling.
You are currently looking through a hole in the universe that leads to an endless sky.
I don't know if I want to go through that.
Should I go get my rope?
Oh, that's a great idea. Tie one end of the rope around my waist and then hang onto the other.
Just in case. Okay.
You can also, you know, fly.
Well, we don't know how crazy them wind portal winds are.
No, it's a fair concern.
And we asked them to clarify that we're planning on bringing him back. Or is that kind of clear?
You should. You could.
Sariel, as you ponder this, Bonecaster squats and does some bone casting and then stands up again. And you get a response through the mushrooms.
He's pretty sure he'll come back.
Okay, cool.
Geesh will go whisper to his rope, "Rope, come with me."
The rope snakes off of Iria and coils up on your arm.
Iria rope. Wakes up.
Oh, no. Geesh says, "Rope, secure yourself to Eden."
It goes around her waist. It actually gets into like a harness around her legs and her waist.
Amazing.
Do you want to stay a bear, Sario, or do you want to be large elf, Sario?
What are we doing? Because at some point before the spell wears off, I'd like to be large squirrel.
Go ahead and be large squirrel. Basically, I'm going to give you the other side of the rope. You're a giant.
Oh, yeah, I'll stay bear then.
Okay. And you'll go rope coil around Sariel's paw?
Sariel will like dig one claw really deep into the ground and he can just anchor himself to the claw.
Okay, so he'll anchor the rope around that. All right, there you go, Eden. This is,
we okay.
Got a line for you.
They lean guiding wind on you. And do you want Eve to come with you?
Maybe she better stay here. Actually, I changed my mind. I want
her
to come
with
me.
You look back and see a nervous Eve scooting back and forth on Sariel's back.
Yeah, this will be fun. Come on, let's do this. All right, I'm kind of nervous, but I will go ahead and step through the portal.
Are you just stepping through or are you flying through?
Yeah, I guess I should probably cast fly now, shouldn't I? All right, yes, I will fly through.
I like the idea of Eden stepping and realizing like, oh, no floor, and casting fly as she tilts forward.
Just whatever is as dramatic as possible.
You soar out about 40 feet, because that's how much rope you have. And you're holding a limp kobold that is also winged. You see the portal, and there are people on the other side. Clearly, there's a room, just like a hole in the sky. But they are clearly moving their mouth and making noises, but you can't hear it. But very shortly after this, Bonecaster sticks his head through and you hear hissing and he points a finger down and then a finger at you and then he makes like a open claw, like drop it sign, and then leans back through.
Oh gosh. Oh, okay. If that's what I'm supposed to do. All right, here goes nothing. I will reluctantly drop him.
Guiding Wind drops into the endless sky beneath you as Eve does lazy loops around you. You're in like a gentle breeze, but it appears to be moving you just in a circle where you are.
Okay, so we're not talking like hurricane force winds here.
No, and he tumbles for like a good 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then you see his wings go out. And then you see a flash of light that makes it so you can't quite see where he is. And moments later, you see, because he's fallen quite a ways, a white line with two grandiose wings spreading from it that starts to soar up towards you.
Oh. Wow! That's amazing!
It's a miracle.
I'm going to assume this is a good thing.
As it gets closer, you see that this is absolutely a white dragon. It is long, a little noodly, has a lion-esque face, and certainly didn't have the girth of the red dragon, but is moving at quite a speed towards you.
Whoa, it's not, is it going to crash into me?
It appears to be aiming, like, off to the side.
Oh, phew, okay. Then I will watch in awe.
Sten will cheer.
It rushes up to you, making a powerful breeze in your face before just maintaining the position with its body twisting in midair. And staring at you with much bigger eyes, but you recognize the, you know, color pattern of Guiding Wind. Sans mask now.
You made it, buddy. You did it.
I will smile and give a knowing wave as if to say, yes, I recognize you.
It moves a lot closer and puts out one claw towards you.
Oh my gosh. I will reach out and touch his claw.
The claw pierces your skin.
Ow!
What?
Damn! What was that for?
Maybe he doesn't know his own strength yet.
Is he like a Breath of the Wild dragon and they don't know that they hurt people?
In this moment, you realize that all those times that you've been casting magic and weird things have happened, those familial feelings. Oh, you're home. As little bits of blood begin to dribble down your hand, they fall into the sky, but they don't fall. They begin to just swirl around you.
Whoa.
Eden, you are now a dragon bloodline sorcerer.
Wait, what?
Whoa.
And a choir of angels descends from the heavens.
Wait, you're dragonborn?
And sings a song.
Dragon bloodline.
Of triumph.
Dude.
What does this mean?
That sounds awesome, whatever it is.
Right?
Not, to be fair, as awesome as Guiding Wind, who turned into a dragon fully, so I'm not going to lie, he's overshadowing your moment slightly.
New
but still
quest.
Good.
New quest. Let's turn Eden into a dragon.
Yes.
Oh, I'm cool like this.
Yeah, I don't think she wants to be a dragon. Anyway, I guess Guiche is clapping inaudibly because Eden can't hear any sound through the portal. And
it's
now
true.
It's confused.
Eden is having a moment, and you guys are sort of locked on the other side of a window. But
well, I mean,
you...
from our perspective, she just got stabbed, right? About all that happened.
Well, gently stabbed, and then started right. having like a little halo of blood going around her. This halo subsumes into your skin, and you feel it hardening. You feel just like your arms getting a little bit itchy, but as you pull up your sleeves, you see small outlines of scales.
Dude.
As Eden turns towards you, her eyes change to a bright sky blue with gold lines in them, with cat irises for a second, before switching back.
Are you saying that Eden is the lizard person now, Illuminati confirmed?
And she's a noble. They run the world.
Right?
I was about to say, now I have to try to chase the highest leadership position that I can.
Insert X-Files theme. I'm sorry, but continue.
But yes, at this moment, it appears your transformation is complete, as is Guiding Wind, and he begins to go towards the portal.
Really quick, James, you described him as a white noodly dragon, and I immediately thought of Falcor from Neverending Story.
Less furry.
Yeah.
I Falcor, thought of obviously. The,
think
what's his name? The character from
Eastern
Spirited Away.
Dragon. Yeah.
Much
more him. What was his name? I forget.
I don't remember.
Much more him, much less Falcor.
So not a dog dragon?
Not a dog dragon.
With luck!
As he begins to poke his head through, it is a little bit uncomfortable as a relatively large dragon forces its way out of this small portal. And luckily, he is long and not girthy.
Wait, is he leaving or coming back?
He's coming back.
Okay, good. Because I feel like we need to have a moment.
We are going to have such an easy time getting out of here now.
That is true. Maybe. If there's a way out. Wait, or a very difficult time.
Well, and it's going to be really easy. Well, it's going to be really easy also to have a full night's rest because we have a friggin' dragon chilling with us.
Maybe he thinks he's above us now. We'll see how this plays out.
Yeah.
You guys are in the room with a white dragon now. Does Eden return as well?
Yes, I will follow.
Hold on. As he sees Eden start to come forward, Guiche will put his hand on his hat and poke his head through the portal. Say, can you see anything out there other than the sky?
It's pretty much just a really attractive abyss out here.
As you were looking around, Eden, it seemed like that, but now that you're looking for something, just off, you're like, oh, I didn't see anything, but then you look around, because Guiche mentioned it, and you see some clouds off in the distance, you're like, that looks like a castle.
I want to go to there!
Can I hear her as she says that?
Yeah, your head is poked out. Although, for you, Guiche, it's kind of terrifying as you look down and you realize that the edge of the portal isn't there on this side. You're just sort of hanging over an abyss.
Right, yeah.
Before Guiche gets too freaked out and puts his head back in, I will point and say, do you see that? Do you see what I see? Where those clouds are?
Do I see it?
Mm-hmm.
You say, I don't know if we can all go to there. I think probably only you could, and maybe Sariel if she can turn into a bird.
Oh, such a pity.
Can I be, Sten be all like, you did it, buddy, in full revelry mode with Guiding Wind?
Oh, you know, absolutely. Do you make any gesture to go along with this? Because for the most part, Guiding Wind is just standing there majestically gazing about the room.
Yeah, Sten would be running up to him and just naively, well, not naively, but idiotically, like cheering and trying to like really just figuring out how to physically interact with the dragon. Because there's no hands, you can't really hug the dragon. But, you know, maybe standing inappropriately close to the dragon and being like, yay! Come on, this is like an occasion where you hug the dragon. Come on, I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
So as Sten comes and gives the neck of the dragon a hug, the neck is pretty long, so it curves around and the head comes next to yours and just gives you a...
Aww.
On the head.
This is the most touching moment of my life. I can die happy.
So is Eden coming back, or...?
Yes, I'm coming back.
Okay.
Real quick, I want to do something with Sten, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The dragon, after snooting on your head, just giving you a solid burst of air that pushes all your hair back and ruffles your clothes, begins to root around in your backpack.
All right. What's mine is yours, Guiding Wind.
It pulls out a small box that contains Wobbles.
Wobble? You're not gonna eat him, right?
You don't get an answer because he's not on shrooms, but the dragon is just gently batting at the box because it doesn't quite have the, like, manual dexterity to open it.
I see where you're going with this. And he will take out Wobbles and be like, look, Wobbles, it's a friendly dragon. And see if the dragon wants some of the snuff.
The dragon headbutts you gently, which means it only knocks you back several feet.
Oof.
And then roars.
So, no.
I'm upset I'm missing this in character.
Oh, you woke up to a dragon roaring.
What?
There's no way about this.
Oh my god, they're here!
As the dragon roars in Wobble's face, Wobbles picks up a tiny twig that he had and begins waving it at the dragon.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
He's chained by the weapon master Geesh himself! Ah!
The dragon puts out one claw and, like, tick-ticks the stick a couple times.
Habati! Yahoo! Yahaha!
And then falls over on its side, like, shit in the room.
Take that, scurrilous knave!
Guiding Wind's so cool.
He's such
Guiding
a good... He's the best dragon ever.
And you hear Wobbles be like,
I'm the greatest warrior of my people!
You did it, Wobbles. You saved us. Thank God you were here.
Wobbles begins scooting around in a little circle, waving its little arms around.
Well, I want to let him celebrate for, like, a decent little time, but maybe find an excuse to be like, well, the sun might come up soon. Hope he buys that. Maybe we should get you back in here so that Guiding Wind doesn't have to continue to play dead forever.
Oh, Guiding Wind has one eye closed and the other eye open and is very clearly feigning death, like is still taking these huge breaths. But yes, you're able to get Wobbles back inside the container. But,
am I still crazy?
Iria is awake. You feel slightly more composed now. You're pretty sure something is watching you. When you were asleep, you actually were dreaming of that thing having a door slammed in its face. You were at, you know, your mansion, and there was that thing behind a door, and you slammed it. But then you looked over, and it's just like looking in a different door now, and one of your servants is opening the door for it. And you hear it. You hear it say, one door closes, another door opens. I cannot be stopped.
She wakes up screaming, it's back, it's coming back. What?
You She's witness looking, a like... tiny duel between a Wobbles and a dragon.
What's happening? Who are you? What's happening? Is that Guiding Wind? It is, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
It is.
Yes, this is Guiding Wind, yes. Sorry, I didn't realize you were speaking coherently. It took me a second to process that.
It's okay. She runs over to Sariel. Is Sariel a bear? I forget.
Is she still?
Sariel.
Yeah.
Sariel, I'm sorry for trying to stab you, but you must know that it's gonna come back. It's gonna come back! She, like, climbs Bear Sariel, like, pulling on her bear ear. It's gonna come back!
Sariel roars.
Ah! Iria falls off.
All the kobolds look startled and uncomfortable.
Guys?
Yeah?
I don't feel too good.
Is that Amanda or Iria talking?
Iria.
And then Iria turned into pixels and faded away.
Ha ha ha. Good one.
Terrible.
I appreciated it.
Guiding Wind is going to move its head over to you, Iria, now that he doesn't have to act for Wobbles anymore, and sniffs you really hard a couple times before growling deeply.
She sniffs hard back.
A big old forked dragon tongue comes out and, like, licks your face.
Ah! What? She licks the dragon's face.
The dragon just looks, like, perturbed and rears its head away from you. But goes over to its comrades and begins growling. And, Eden, it's weird. The kobolds are talking, and slowly their speech is starting to make sense.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Oh my god, can Eden lay eggs now?
Ooh, I'll try. I'll squeeze my butt muscles really hard.
Oh my god, no. None of this. I don't... Stop.
This is not the fan fiction I wanted.
Oh, yeah. This is a bad plan. I'm gonna stop.
Eden, you can now read, write, speak, and understand Draconic.
Holy moly!
Get it.
Oh, but this is wonderful.
You hear them, and they're basically talking about what are they going to do with Iria, because she's been touched, and they can't change her like they did.
Are they talking shit about me?
but you actually hear them mention a name, and you're like, who are they talking about? And you realize they're talking about Guiding Wind, but they're calling him Vile Rus, Slayer of Kin.
Vile Rus?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good name, not gonna lie.
So when it comes to Iria, what are they leaning towards exactly?
It's less of a what should we do, it's more of a like, what are they gonna do?
Does Eden attempt to respond to them?
It's up to her.
Iria clutches onto Sariel's giant leg, muttering to herself.
I will ask Indraconic, what do you propose we do?
They all look surprised. Bonecaster looks slightly less surprised.
To the rest of us, is Eden just now doing dragon growls at them?
Oh yeah.
Geesh also looks very surprised as well now.
Eden's just like, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, but Bonecaster responds to you.
We do not know. She will recover in time, but unless she is uncommonly strong, it will haunt her for the rest of her life.
Is there a way to save her? As in, save her from being haunted.
Bonecaster leans down and casts the bones. The other ones just wait respectfully. Bonecaster stands up again and says,
I do not know, and neither do the bones.
Is this something I can roll for, or is this something I wouldn't have any knowledge of?
You can absolutely roll for it, because you've talked to a few people, you've put some information together about this. It's not a complete unknown anymore.
Hey, I just want to put it out there. Maybe if he'd taken that troll bone that I offered him, that bone might have known. But no, so now we'll never know.
Now that you mention it, in retrospect, Bonecaster would have taken a knuckle or something from the red dragon.
Eden rolled a 14 in Arcana.
From what the Myconids told you, from what the kobolds have told you, and from what you've observed yourself, it appears like this thing leaves parts of itself behind, either psychological or physical, or both. And according to the Myconids, over time people change, and whatever is there doesn't change with her. So right now it has all the weapons and is very dangerous. But as she changes, it will be less and less effective. Doing something about it, even nobody knows. Time heals all wounds is basically the answer.
Okay, well, at the very least, I will relay this back to the rest of the party. And Iria, how are you feeling right now, just out of curiosity?
I think some of the monsters have left. But the big eye, the big one, she points at where the tentacle monster was, that's coming back somewhere else.
As you look around the room area, you see that there's still two of the wandering eyes that are still staring into portals.
Ah! I'm gonna go stab one.
You go stab one. It dies. Do you want to stab the other one?
Yeah, stab it.
Good call. This is the sort of crack tactical thinking we keep you on board for.
Iria walks straight past several dwarvish wraiths and stabs a creature, and it dies in front of her. And you look for a moment into the land of the dead, and you can see what seems like 1,000 faces looking back.
Hello.
But in the moment, you feel like it should be terrifying, but it seems like they're all thankful.
You're welcome. Do I recognize anyone? Do I know any dead people?
Yeah, do you know any dead people? You're very young.
I am young. Hmm.
You have
I see Moop.
Yeah.
No, you do not see Moop.
Moop's probably with me.
Wouldn't he be gone now?
Isn't he in the hammer?
Yes, we will deal with Moop in a moment.
Okay.
Oh God, is he no, he stays, I think. Oh God, I thought he was going to stay.
I feel better now that I've stabbed people.
Okay, so Iria steps around after dropping this bomb on you guys and then stabbing the remaining creatures. Sten, as you think about this for a moment, wait a minute, is Moop leaving? You hear him say, my reason for staying is complete. Now I rest.
Moop! No! I mean, obviously, you know, yes. But I'll miss you so much and your incredible power. But also you. We had a bond, right? We did the double team. We did, other assorted. I mean, really, the double team was the culmination. It's hard to beat that one. But lots of things leading up to that, too.
The good old days.
I'm going to miss you, man.
You know, I really should thank you. Not just for fulfilling my quest, but for granting me one last unbelievable feat.
Getting to mix it up with an orc, a demon, a dragon, and an extraplanar evil all at the same time. My brother, with all of his life left, will never be able to outdo that one.
Yeah, it's true. You're right. I, myself, will never outdo this moment we had together.
Well, you've still got life in front of you, but I doubt it.
I like your style, Moop. What a guy. This guy. I like envisioning Sten just like talking to himself, but like acting as other people are in on it. Like, he still doesn't understand that no one else hears what Moob is saying, or doesn't really process it at least.
I think you're definitely holding the hammer and pointing at it as you say, "This guy."
Right. No, yeah, exactly.
Moop requests that you take him over to the portal to the Shadowfell.
Oh, okay, Moop. I'll take Moop over to the Shadowfell.
Oh, wait. He sees Sten walking over there and says, wait. I might have an idea.
Oh, God.
If the eye is currently in part of it's with Iria and it has the ability to banish, the hammer has the ability to banish the eye, maybe we can use it to banish it from her?
We're not hitting Iria with the hammer.
No, but we could maybe gently touch her with the hammer. We can gently touch her with a hammer. And if I can get my wits about me, maybe I can see where it is on her.
Moop, real quick before we, you know, give you eternal rest.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance you'd be willing to touch Iria over here briefly?
Would I be willing to touch Iria?
She's haunted. She's haunted by the evil thing. And you might be able to... Sorry if that got less. But yeah, that.
Well, I mean, it's like work and play. I thought it was play and then it was work. Yeah, sure.
My bad.
I was going to use most of my power to get rid of the demon, but you kind of did that yourself. Yeah, I'll give it a go.
All right, if Iria is willing.
Should I hand me over?
Here you go, Iria. This is Moop.
Moop! I've missed you.
Yeah. I guess I've missed you too?
Poor Iria. She hugs the hammer.
Don't make it awkward.
Hey, buddy.
Iria, as you're holding the hammer lights up and does a much less impressive Nova effect, blinding anyone who's looking directly at it.
Ow!
You do feel significantly better and emptier in places that you didn't know were heavy.
I feel
and
better.
The hammer loses a lot of its luster.
Huh. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yes. What's up? I'm good. You good?
Yeah. Are you... What happened?
Oh, I just went in your soul and, like, beat up a lot of people. I'm good. You good?
Whoa, I'm good. Dude.
Moop needs rest.
Never thought I'd have you inside me before.
Oh my god.
I'm trying so hard.
Geesh is making that face where like you want to laugh, but you don't, so it's a smile, but you're trying not to smile either.
Okay, you want to go back to Sten?
I mean, I can say bye from over here. Like, Sten, you hear Moop inside your head. I'm go to the portal. You want to hold me? Just somebody take me over there quick. I'm very sleepy.
Sten will go take him and be like, I got you, buddy. I got you. It's time to rest. Thanks so much.
Can I help? Because I'm supposed to give people final rites.
Hey, Moop, do you want final rites?
I am a cleric of Paylor. I can give myself final rites. Thank you very much.
Do I hear this or does Sten say this out loud?
He's got it. He says he's got it. He knows the final rites.
All right.
So you take him over to the door?
Yes. And there's definitely not a small tear coming down my eye. I'm crying.
As you're walking there, he says, "Ah, look at these goons." And you realize that he's referencing all the wraiths outside the portal.
Yeah.
You want to just, like, shove him in there and then tap me against the edge? This shouldn't be open.
But you want me to shove the wraiths into the portal?
Yeah, I can do it. I still got a little bit of juice.
Okay. I'll prod at the wraiths with Moop.
The wraiths stumble away from the faint light that Moop is emanating. And when they touch the portal, it's like they notice it's there and immediately scramble through.
And it feels vaguely satisfying, like cleaning a room.
Isn't it just?
I'm shove those wraiths in.
They never tell you when you join up that, like, getting souls to go where they're supposed to go, like, gives you that, like, good washing dishes feel.
It does feel, yeah. There's a purity to it. Something nice and right about making these little guys walk that way. Maybe I should have been a shepherd.
Geesh would 100% confirm this if he had heard the conversation.
You just hear a crazy Sten babbling to himself. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that done. I think it's time to finally give Moop his rest, tragically.
You tap the hammer against the barrier, and you see on the other side just a sea of faces that are looking at you. It's kind of horrifying because they all look not like they are in pain, but they all look, you know, various states of decay. But you see the bright figure that you saw when you first grabbed the hammer of Moop standing beyond it, and he is holding a mirror image of Godslayer that is also touching the portal.
Whoa. One last thought, Moop, before you go. Just going to say it again. Demon, a dragon, some sort of otherworldly thing, a half-orc and a hammer. Your brother is not going to beat that.
He nods and fist bumps the portal. Do you meet it?
Of course. I thought that was without saying.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because some of you are scared of portals.
No, I'm way too much of an idiot.
You fist pump the portal. You don't actually feel anything, but he takes the hammer away from the portal and swings it up on his shoulder and then swings it down to where the edge would be, and the portal shatters in the real world.
Now you're working with portals.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, not bad. Well, the single tear drips from Sten's face, and he'll just, moop's gone, everybody. He's dead. It's over. I know we were all so close to him.
Well, he's, you know, he's not dead.
He was already.
Yeah, he was already dead.
But I am fairly confident he is dead.
Wait, who said that? Who said that?
It was Bonecaster just to Eden, because only she can understand.
Oh, you know what I mean.
You are correct. His spirit lives on to continue the fight.
Nothing ever truly dies, except for that dragon we killed and ate the heart of and then incinerated. That's probably dead.
You get a mushroom from Wobbles that says,
"The kobold said he lives on inside them."
Even him, apparently. Nothing dies. We're all going to live forever.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I'm not too worried about Iria's warning about that thing, because anything sufficiently powerful tends to not really die.
Well, unless all the kobolds died too without someone eating their hearts, then they and the dragon would truly be dead.
Guys, I promise if I ever stumble across you and you're dead, I'll eat your heart.
Thanks.
Oh boy, yeah.
Are you telling us or the kobolds?
Really everyone involved.
No, please don't. I'd really prefer that you not eat my heart and instead get Sarl to use her stick or the horn and stab me. I'd really much prefer that.
Fine. I'm trying to understand how this whole mourning process works. It's very complicated.
I think you'd mean more if you said that to the kobolds.
The kobolds respond to you basically like lukewarmly through the mushrooms.
They say if they find you, they'll do the same, but only if you're still fresh.
All right, okay. Now it's weird.
I thought it was touching, Sariel. I thought it was touching.
Wait, right. Are you normal? Are you Sariel or are you bear? And you're just like, "Rrr."
Yes.
I feel like a bear could probably communicate. All right, now it's weird.
All right, let's montage out of here. You guys have a dragon. Nothing is going to stand in your way that it can't get rid of.
Can we explore this room? Because, like, spoilers, there's a little yellow box down in the left corner of the room.
Yes, as you montage out of here, you're going to get some treasure.
Yeah! Okay. Sorry, I just got excited.
Let's montage over the treasure, then.
Now, those lines around it, is that like a spider web or are those majesty lines?
It's more just like a pile of junk.
Nice.
Gotcha.
Smell lines.
I like majesty lines. That's awesome.
I know what majesty lines are.
They seem quite majestic.
You get them from Durgans. So you all take a long rest as you all need it. You guys are pretty bushed. You guys are in a rough way. Actually, several times during the evening, more wandering eyes come in, but are very quickly dealt with. As none of them appear to have their eyes open. They are merely wandering around and don't even seem inclined to attack. But the kobolds react to them with extreme prejudice.
I attack them.
As you take a gander around this place and in the surrounding buildings, which this seems to be a large campus, actually, there's lots of rooms with half-finished statues in them and the like, with tools left where they were however many years ago. And you are going to find some specifically valuable stuff, as well as you are going to come out of here with a certain degree of money in the form of actual just coins, gems, and art.
I like money and art and gems, but I'll give money to Galena.
From the corpses of the entourage that the portal had, the clear head that was all round and nice, there was a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. And it is a crystal ball of scrying. It is about 8 inches across. And you guys know that you can cast the spell Scry with it. Cool. You find in a nearby building a book that is latched and has warnings all over it in Dwarvish. But they're not like, do not read curse. It's like, do not open until Golem is ready for installation. And you recognize this as a manual of golems. It contains the magical instructions to bring a level of sentience to an inanimate object.
Cool.
You find Chalk of Warding, which is in this room, actually, under just a bunch of junk as you're looking through. Most of it has decayed, but Chalk tends to stay intact for quite a while. This, you can cast the spell Magic Circle, various sizes, without as much time involved, which allows you to create barriers against certain types of creatures and extra planar nonsense. You also find a chime of opening, which is just a small silver bell that we'll just say the first use is kind of accidental. Iria picks up a bell and just rings it to see what the quality is, and a box opens on the other side of the room.
Yo.
Could it just opens any old box that's nearby?
It opens the nearest openable object that you are pointing at, and it will unlock things as well.
Fascinating.
But it is kind of loud.
Hmm.
And once you guys have scoured the area, you guys head back to the Myconids and pick up your mushrooms.
Wait, actually, I wanted to try something in the portal room before we left.
Okay.
I wanted to... You said there was an earthen portal?
Yes.
And there was like precious stones and stuff spilling out of it?
Yes.
Can I go through... I mean, I'll do my safety line as always, but can I go through it to see if anything happens to me?
You attempt to go through and it's a solid wall of rock.
Oh.
It's earth. Like, you can try to dig into it.
I'll try to dig a little bit, I guess, for like 2 minutes.
You don't make a heck of a lot of progress. You uncover several more gems, and all of them are big and glowy, but Iria informs you that they are actually less valuable, as the ones on the floor have lost their magical, otherworldly luster and are uncut, whereas you guys have found already lots of exceptionally large, exceptionally beautifully cut gems, so it's just not...
Right. It's not worth it. Well, I mean, just for curiosity's sake, if Geesh has dug out a large enough space, he'll just push his face through it so it's on the other side of the portal to see if anything happens. Like, to see if something in his head reacts to what's just happened.
You dig out a hole for your head and stick it in there. It takes you about 2 minutes to dig a hole that size because it is earthen. It's not rock, at least right where it is. And you stick your head in. And it feels cool and dark and, I don't know, a little claustrophobic.
Does nothing happen?
No.
Okay, I will attempt to take off my blindfold.
Okay, you take off your blindfold, look into it, and nothing's weird here.
I don't have to do any checks for it? My brain just seems
No, calm. Everything is awesome and normal.
Wow, so my brain is not recoiling as usual. It's just acting normal.
Yep.
He's just very excited and tells everyone, he's like, hey, my brain's not going crazy.
You, like... turn around or pull your head out because otherwise the sound doesn't go through.
Right.
And immediately everything gets terrible.
And then I fall down and say, my brain wasn't going crazy in there.
Yes, as you scramble to put back on your blindfold.
Okay.
Same.
That's all. I just wanted to see what it did.
Yeah, I'm glad you checked.
You should keep a jar of dirt, like a head-sized jar of dirt, just so you can shove your face in it every now and then.
I want to do that. I'm going to grab a jar of dirt from this...
I've got a jar of dirt.
I don't know. I might need it. My brain seems to like it. Can I acquire a jar of earth and plain dirt, James?
Yes. Yes, you can. Although, do any of the magical people remember what I told you about this kind of thing before?
I remember, and I'm not magical.
What, they eventually lose their potency after a while?
Yeah. It's just going to be normal dirt pretty quickly.
Geesh stops halfway through filling the jar. He's like, never mind.
Okay. Sten, dim though he is beginning to notice an association with everyone and these various elements. Can I just, like, walk up to the fire portal and see what's up?
Yep.
Kind of walk up to it, maybe, like, poke it slightly.
It's pretty furnacey as you get up. The blaze is pretty difficult to stand. As you move your finger forward, it starts to burn you.
Ow!
You know, hey, you take one damage, fire damage.
All right. I'll be like, ow! Hey... anyone in there, it's the chosen one.
You hear a couple of the kobolds, like, behind you as they watch you do this.
I'm just going to turn and give them a glare and be like, I'm investigating, guys.
They all look confused, like they don't understand you.
Can I, like, rage mode my hand? Is that a thing I could, like, do?
Oh, absolutely. You can produce flame.
Can I just, like, ignite my arm and, like, try, you know, putting, like, the hand in? Yes, I realize you're going to make me take damage, but I'm doing it anyway.
We're going to get a full night's rest anyway, so.
Yeah. Your hand ignites. Well, basically, like, your whole arm ignites, and you reach your hand forward, and the heat diminishes exceptionally, and it's almost like the fire moves out of your way. Like, it's still just fire as far as you can see, but it's, like, where your arm is, it's only your fire.
All right. All right, everyone. This is the worst idea I've ever had. Be right back.
I can't rope you. You're going to burn my rope. Wait, would he burn my rope?
Your rope would last longer than a normal rope.
Sten, maybe don't put all of yourself in, because we don't even know if there's a floor on the other side of that portal.
All right, I'll stick my head in. Can I, like, ignite my whole body and stick the head in?
Okay, I thought you were just going to ignite your head, and I'm like, I'm not sure if you have that level of control. You go rage mode, which is, it's kind of difficult to do when you're just...
Not actually angry.
Not actually angry, but you manage to work yourself up into the right state, stick your head in, and you are fine. You're looking around, fire everywhere. It's hot, but it's not burning you. You do feel a sense of... Oh, I have the perfect metaphor with his backstory. You know that time when you're on the churchyard and all the older boys are kind of like being jerks and shoving you around?
Do I ever?
That's what it feels like.
The fire is being a jerk and shoving me around?
It feels like it's familiar, but it's also hurting you.
Oh, I see. I see. I see.
And it may or may not be intending to hurt you.
I see. I see. Anybody here want to talk about my special powers or really anything? I'm... easy to talk to. Fire. It hurts, by the way. I'm ow. A little.
It's much easier to stay in rage now because it is hurting you.
Yeah, yeah.
But as you are calling out into the inferno, you can swear it's doing things, like it's changing based off of when you talk. Like it's noticeably conforming to it a little bit, but it's just fire.
I feel like this was our one chance to talk, and you know, frankly, you're blowing it. I'm out. Sten will pull his head back. It sucked in there. Fire's an asshole.
Behind you, a lick of fire comes out and burns your butt right as you are, like, trying to get away.
Oh my god. My powers are the worst. You and your wind and...
What? Are you magical... serious? Your powers are the worst. Really?
Point taken, Gage. But okay. I did get my ass just burned by my portal friends who knew I was there.
Well, they're not our friends.
They it's just could an, it's have
just,
been.
It's just an element.
They could Elements have been.
Elements aren't I know. Really intelligent. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. My element sucks.
Sarl, did you want to check yours? I mean, it's just a fae portal, but...
No, I'm good.
She goes there when she dreams. She doesn't need to go in there now. I mean, you might be want to be like, oh, where does this portal go in the Feywild?
Actually, yeah, that might be worth a peek. And sorry, I'll see if...
Does it drop us off somewhere convenient?
Yeah, I was trying to think of how to phrase that. But basically that. Can I see if it would put us in relatively familiar territory? I feel like it'd probably still be riskier to go through that than to go back through the Cold Forge, but just out of curiosity.
Sure. As you take a look in, it's bright, it's sunny, everything is green, there are birds chirping. You see a little gnome with several mushrooms growing out of its hair startle at you and run away. But as you're looking around, I want you to roll in nature to see if you know what's going on just by looking through. It's going to be kind of tough.
I rolled a 16.
Yeah, you're not sure. It's definitely spring, noon out there.
Okay.
So you have, like, the continent.
But I have a very vague idea.
Like you're like, it's somewhere over there. If I had to search the entire Feywild, it would take me a fourth of the time to find this place.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you see bridges? Was bridges there?
We will hopefully never see bridges again.
Man, I think Bridges needs someone who can believe in him.
No. Remember what you were just saying about the elements? That's Bridges.
But he spoke, you know? Like
Bridges?
The murder brought away, right?
She wasn't with us.
Yeah. In-character confusion.
You guys spend a couple of hours regaling Iria with the tale of Bridges and how he is terrible at riddles.
I think we have sufficiently spent time exploring the portals, James.
One last thing is, Sariel, you know that Bridges is very far away from, probably as far as you can get away from spring, because he was in autumn.
Right.
So... you guys get some magic items. I want to know, because Iria is with you, you have the option to collect almost entirely valuable historical objects that she would have to go fence and then bring you the money. Or you can just bring things that would be valuable to anyone and you would get the money now or like right when you get to a town, but it may be less. It's still going to be an obnoxious amount.
I'm down with just straight cash. Unless there's like something... that Sariel might find, like, historically relevant that she might just want to bring back to the library or something. But bar that specific case, just cash or coin, I guess.
Okay. Sariel's vote, cash. Everyone else want to weigh in on this?
I'm in agreement with Sariel.
What do you think, Sten?
I'm still mad about fire, don't ask me.
Oh my goodness, man.
You've had several hours to cool down and you can always have just stuck your butt in the water portal, which, like, immediately cools everything off.
I'm pretty sure Geege even just like washed off all his bloody wounds in the water in the front of the water portal anyway, so.
Oh. Oh, in front of the water portal, okay.
Yeah. He wouldn't go in.
I was about to say.
I don't know what horrible thing that would... Wait, would that make me also water elemental? Can I do that? No. What do you think, Sten? Should we have Iria fence some stuff, or do you just want to take... Should we just grab some generic valuable goodies?
I don't have a very thoughtful opinion here.
That's okay. Give us Sten an opinion.
I want to take the prettiest things. I need comfort. I've been hurt. I've lost my moop. Fire hates me. And I don't care what you say, 2 hours is not enough time to get over this.
Okay, so Cash as well. Iria, I assume, is taking the significant things that she can carry, because that will be her bag. Geesh, did you weigh in?
Is there anything that, like, sort of with Sariel says, is there anything that he would find particularly relevant?
All those things you would have found during the skills challenges.
But I'm saying there's no, like, weapons, super duper cool weapons. I mean, I have my shield, but anything else or armor?
You can
or...
find pretty much any mastercrafted dwarvish style weapon as you are leaving, but it's not going to be magical.
I like weapons. Would that fall into the first category of just things that we can easily sell and we wouldn't need our defense?
No, the things that you would bring out would not sell for, they weigh way more, like you would be taking a big loss by carrying a weapon out of here.
Shoot. How much would a mastercrafted dwarven sword give me? Like, how much more damage? It's like a +3?
No, mastercrafted dwarvish sword would be a +1. It would be the same as your sword, except not magical.
Oh, I guess I'll just take, you know, I'll do what everyone else is doing. Just take generic sort of goodies. Nothing that we'd have to fence and make the extra effort for.
Okay, cool beans. You guys are going to collectively get 55,000 gold.
Holy moly.
Nice.
Holy crap.
This is not including Iria's stuff that she takes back to her home city.
Still not enough for an airship.
Nope.
Damn.
Airships are obscenely expensive.
Yeah.
The only empire that fields them only has 3. All right.
Okay.
I like expensive stuff. Woo!
Woohoo! So as you guys head out of the Cold Forge and stop by, pick up your mushrooms, do you say anything to the Myconids while you're down there?
Hello.
Do we get to meet the actual Myconids, or is it still Mushroom Matrix?
If you want to spend more time there, which wouldn't be a hugely significant amount of time unless you want to stay there for a while, you can go into the Mushroom Matrix, or you can just talk to them at the gate.
Oh, they
well, I
want
have to meet my mushrooms again, right? Well, one of them was going to stay, and one of them was coming with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I very at least need to say goodbye to, I forget which one is leaving and which one is staying, but
Chip
I need
is
to...
leaving, Chub is staying.
So, yes, I need to say goodbye to Chip. A tearful goodbye. Another one. God, I'm never going to get over this fire thing.
Tragic exit.
God. Sten. Everything was going so well.
You don't want to talk him into staying, Sten?
Staying.
With us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll certainly ask him if he's... I mean, yeah, I want to talk to him. I want to ask if he's sure, but you know, if this is his will, that's fine. Mm-hmm. The deal was I come back in, was it a year?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
You can feel Chip's struggle as he talks to you for the second time.
I want to stay with you, but I gotta be strong and learn things to help my family.
It's very wise. It's very wise, Chip. You're an inspiration. Remember, I'll be back in a year. I promise. Unless I am killed.
No! You promised to stay alive!
I swear to you, if it is within my power, and my power is considerable, I am the chosen one, I will return for you.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to chat with mushrooms about specifically, or do you guys just go in there, share some niceties, and carry on?
We killed the thing, I think. The looking thing.
We killed the source.
Yeah.
There's probably a few stragglers around. I guess we're talking to their leader? I'm trying to remember his... Oh, too old.
Yeah, let's say you go into the Matrix for a hot minute, and he leans over the counter and says, "That's good. Unfortunately, it's still in here." Oh, but now we have time. It'll go away eventually. The big problem was every time we let it go away a little bit, it would come back when another one of us got witnessed.
But do you need us to, like, take care of it in here, too?
Yeah.
No. That'd be dangerous. And now that we have time, it'll go away in a couple hundred years.
You think very differently than myself.
Well, better to wait some time with a little bit of inconvenience than risk your life.
Suppose that's true. Well, I'll be back in a year, so... If you still feel that way, that's, you know, I can kill it then, is what I'm saying, if you want.
It's good to know. If we need it done then, I will tell you.
Why, thank you. Good mushroom.
Is this place safe for dwarves now?
I don't rightly know. I assume it might be, as the source of the emanation is no longer here.
Hmm.
So I guess, does anyone else want to talk to the mushrooms, or are we just giving Isis, tell them, giving them the thumbs up that we cleared it out?
Did you use the water?
Oh yeah, we used the water. I mean, I used the water.
We totally all used the water.
Good, right? Good.
Well in advance. It saved our skin.
Geesh is silently shaking his head.
Because your kobold friends over there look a little toasty.
That was an encounter with the fire portal afterwards, which Sten lies, of course. Which turns out, fire portal, big jerk.
Fair. I can sense your anger at it.
Yes. My anger and my hurt, if I'm going to be completely honest. Okay. Because I know you can see right through me.
It's like very clear that he knows you're lying, but like isn't calling you out on it.
I'm like sort of lying. I'm lying partly.
Yes.
But it's buried in a great deal of raw, painful truth.
Oh no. Throughout your trip out over sections that used to be impassable to you, Vylrus the Kinslayer flies you over. Can't quite fly all of you at once, especially since you're all laden with stuff. You pass by several places where you saw something particularly valuable and go back to collect it. But it took you 3 days to get in, almost a day of resting and talking to the mushrooms and collecting things. But actual movement-wise, it only takes you a day to get out. So overall, you've been in there for 5 days.
Well, I got asked a really important question. Did we run into Zelnihiroth the Resplendent, and did Guiding Wind char him and eat him?
No, but you do find out that Vylrus breathes lightning.
Oh, that's cool. Eden, look, he's just like you. I mean, you don't breathe lightning, but I mean, you might now.
I don't think so. That would be cool, though.
If you focus really hard, you can make, like, lightning between your teeth, but it's basically just casting shock and grasp in your mouth.
Interesting. I think that from now on, there should be a fireworks show anytime I enter a room, and big explosions.
You can make that for yourself. You got prestidigitation.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, fine. Guys, from now on, we're doing that every single time.
Sure.
I'm in favor of it.
In advance.
Galena would be in on this.
We deserve a warm greeting, or a dramatic entrance, especially yourself.
Of course, I agree.
So, are we back in the Cold Forge, James?
You guys are back outside the Cold Forge, traveling down the road, and...
Nope. I want to get the scroll.
As you have expressed the desire to do this, the... Kobolds give you a...
We will not help you. It is too dangerous.
Even though we have that book? Wouldn't that book help us with the golems?
Oh, you will have had a bunch of time, and you've been in this place for a long enough time that you are going to know exactly what this book does. What it does is you have to spend a lot of money to make a golem.
Oh,
in this case,
okay.
A stone golem. This book has basically the program to bring a stone golem to life. Mm. If you try to read it... before you're doing that, it will deal psychic damage to you.
Okay. Well, shoot. All right. I guess I'll have to get that scroll off you at some point, Iria.
Yeah, I will get it for you when I feel less like I'm gonna die here.
Fair enough.
It'll happen. I'll be back. She does finger guns at him.
He gives a light shrug.
As you step out of the gates, the five kobolds and the one young-ish white dragon turn to you, say... fond farewells as much as they do, which is mostly just they nod up at you and mount up onto the dragon, which beats its wings and flies south.
Oh, cool.
Goodbye.
Bye.
We cut away from our adventures to Galena in a nearby city, Sid's Toes. She is in a crowded bar, moving through people, all of which she's already made friends with, or friendly rivalries at least. It is full of caravan hands and mercenaries. She's been there for a couple of days now, but in a moment she brushes up against a man who is walking by her, who she's seen before, but this time as she does it, she looks down as his arm bumps against hers, and she sees for a moment through the illusion the cloak of the Eyes of Aramane. And we will cut for the evening.
No! Not this noble.
With that, our heroes have withdrawn from the Undercity, helped Guiding Wind find a new lease on life, and gained a grand windfall. But will their luck hold up till they get their haul to Sid's Toes, or will they find themselves again on the wrong foot? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes.
Stupid fire.
Sorry, fire wasn't nice to you.
That was a pretty cool episode.
I'm glad that people fiddled with their portals. I'm sorry, Galena, I wasn't there to fiddle with hers.
I was asleep.
Well, I know that we discussed her having a rainbow face. Not oh, really.
Dope. A lightning bolt scar on her forehead.
Mm-hmm.
No, but what we did talk about cosmetically, we didn't talk about it. It was just a thing that no one talked about.
Nobody talked about nothing. What are you talking about? Oomph.
Geesh, thank you throwing yourself at the dragon.
Like, real bad.
To save me. It involved you biting it, and I'm really kind of surprised that
you
survived.
You're both talking over each other,
but
so let's do it.
I'm pleasantly surprised that we all survived, quite frankly.
What, no response?
I'm sorry, guys. Wait, Eric, can you not hear Molly?
Is anyone here?
He can't hear us.
Yeah, we need to start over, because that was Hello? An egregious amount of crosstalk.
And then Molly disconnected.
Molly, you're back.
Oh, shit.
Sorry.
Wait, are Eric and I the only ones who got kicked out?
Pretty much, yeah.
It was wild. You guys were just talking at the same time the whole time, and we were like, oh god, why won't either of them stop? It's like you're both like, no, it's my turn to talk.
You shut up. I'm going to talk. I have it recorded, so we can even put it as a...
Oh my gosh, but make that a blooper.
Yeah, I think we will.
You guys had things to say last time.
I'm scared to talk now.
Oh, I have no idea what I said. Dude, I have no idea. I can't like just say this again. I don't know.
Okay, I'll talk. I'll go first.
I'm going to say, just for Iria's sake, sorry, I'm going to have to cut you out of this for a moment because you are certifiably insane for the next hour or so. And
but it'll
then,
be so fun for me to act insane.
That's true, but no one else will be able to get anything done between you screaming at them and trying to cut Gija's rope.
As hilarious as Iria waking up to, like, Sariel's mouth and hands just completely covered in blood.
Yeah.
Same with Sten. Let's not. Let's. That poor girl's got enough PTSD.
I'm gonna continue looking at cute pictures of animals on Pinterest.
Iria dreams of cute animals in a place called Pinterest.
No, Iria dreams of existential dread because she keeps hearing a voice of this guy named James, and they're trapped in a world where they're not actually real, and they're played by weird people in a weird other world.
Nice.
And, like, there's this girl named Amanda who also sometimes plays Galena, and it's very strange.
That's my favorite dream / nightmare too. Okay, so Geesh does not wake her up.
Guys.
Yes?
Yeah.
I turned 27 on Monday.
Congo rats.
Rats, too.
Thanks. I want attention.
This will be, I'm going to do a short moment, and then we're going to get you back in the game, okay?
Hop, yep, hop, hi-ya!
Because he is being sassy.
I'll just explain it pretty clearly!
These mushrooms are alerting the world.
Mainly it has to be fresh. So long as you eat it right now before its spirit leaves and it becomes a truly dead thing. And then we get to eat it.
Truly dead thing.
A heckin' dead thing.